Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, shoot, man. Yeah, I've got some barbecue spots out there. I know you got some barbecue spots out there. Matter of fact, what's the best barbecue spot out in Cali?
I mean, Lucille's is good, but...
Lucille's?
Yeah. Lucille's is a good spot.
Cool, man. We got some here, and I know some that, you know, that's definitely not good is like Dreamland. But
man, Dreamland is good. I'm going there tomorrow. I'm picking up, but not tomorrow, Friday, picking up a slab.
Well, you know, if you like dry ass ribs, then I guess it's a good place to go. But
allergy says that, man, you better stop it. Them ribs is delicious. I'm gonna send you a picture. Them ribs is delicious.
You're listening to the What's Up Falcons podcast with Rock, Hoop, Q, Aries Falcon, and keeping it sexy, LG.
What's up, what's up, what's up, and welcome to the What's Up Falcons podcast. My name is Rock, and I'm joined today with my boy Q in the house. What's going on, Q?
Man, I'm still COVID free, so I'm living to fight another fight.
That's what you gotta do, man. Don't be like the El Hughley, man. I'm gonna have you passing out in front of people.
So. The dude said, I got you, I'm gonna catch your head. Man, his head bounced off the front of the block of basketball.
He did, I saw that. But he's alright though. But we're also joined from all the way over on the West Coast, the notorious vid maker, Mr. Aries Falcon. What's up, Aries?
Oh, man, you know, just trying to take it one day at a time.
Sweet
another
Jesus.
Another day, another dollar.
Hell yeah, man. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. All right. Sweet Jesus. It's good to hear y'all's voices, man. Hoop, maybe, you know, Hoop's doing his thing. I think he's doing this coaching thing, so hopefully he'll call in. And keeping it sexy, Al G, yet again, MIA. But it's all good. At least we did hear from him, so he told us he wasn't going to be here this time.
Man, you know, put out a search party.
No, man. Can't worry about that, brother.
Amber Alert.
Yeah, Amber Alert. Some girl named Amber.
Speaking of search party, you got to go find it and watch it. It's on HBO Max. It is really, really good. That's all I'm going to say about it. But I'm already just 3 episodes left from finishing up 3 seasons, and I did it in like 2 days. It's that good, man.
Yeah, they offered me HBO Max because I have DC,
right?
The DC network. So they offered me HBO Max for an extra $5 a month for 6 months, and then after that it goes to $14.99. I said, y'all must be tripping.
Yeah, I'm good on
HBO Max. I got it for free because of my internet. I got AT&T for internet, so they gave it to me for free. So whoever your internet carrier is, if it's AT&T, you can get it for free. So just look out for that.
Well, I have AT&T for internet, but I thought you had to have their their cable, internet cable, like DirecTV.
No, we dropped them. We dropped DirecTV back in February. Okay. I went to Hulu Live, but no. If you get the AT&T internet, the 800 or higher,
I do.
Well, then you can just log into your account. You'll see an advertisement for HBO Max, and it says you might be eligible. You right. Click on it, and then you just fill out all the information, and then boom, you're in.
All right.
It takes 2 minutes.
All right, I'll have to do that, man. All right, man. I want to thank everybody for joining us. As norm as usual, you know, you can always check us out. Hit us up at What's Up Falcons on Twitter. And you also can hit us up on our text line at 404-919-8683. Or you can drop us an email and all that ghetto stuff. And we will hopefully read your questions and your comments during the show. All right, fellas, before we start this episode, we got a special thing we want to announce and talk about. And people who follow us on Twitter probably already know this, which was a huge shock to me. But we were voted one of the top 10 Atlanta Falcons podcast on the web. And we were, I think we ranked number 4, man. So
Number four.
Not 3, not 2, not 5, but 4.
Not 8, not 9, not the 10th one, but number 4.
I thought that was cool, man. And we were even above the Orlando Ledbetter, who is the actual beat reporter for the AJC. And his Bowtie Chronicles podcast. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool, man. That is pretty cool. Number 4.
Yeah.
Falcons podcast. And there's a lot of Falcons podcasts out there. There's probably like 80, 90 plus of them. There's a lot of them out there. So
it is, man. And the only one that's like fan driven that's in that top 10 that beat us is the Falcoholics.
But yeah, I knew they would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
where did they end up?
I think they're number either 2 or 3.
They're number 3.
Okay.
Number 3. Oh, man. Doing 3 times the work.
I know. They're doing it daily, so.
Daily, oh, goodness.
Yeah, man. So, I think that's a big accomplishment, you know, for us. I mean, I don't know who Feed Spot Blogs are, but, hey, I'll take it.
Hey, I'm telling you, I talked to my friend that I play online with, and he was like, man, I'm hooked. Well, when's the next episode coming out?
Oh, okay. See? All right.
Yeah, he loves it.
Well, we'll keep him cranking, man, as long as you guys want to do it, you know?
Yep. Shout out to Pun City.
Indeed, man. And, yeah.
And if we bring back the characters, we might shoot to number 1, but... I haven't been able to bring back the characters yet. But
no, I don't know about that. Is shoot it or make it drop.
R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, President Trump, everybody waiting to get on the show, man.
What about Caitlin? I haven't heard from Caitlin in years.
Caitlin's always ready, so, you know. But really, what's going to drive us up is Sammy Socialite. That's another story.
Yeah, well, Sammy, I haven't heard from him in a while.
Hey, y'all, there's this dude on YouTube. Hey, I don't know if y'all watch him, Mad Mike Sports.
I watch, I'm very familiar.
Yeah.
I heard of it.
Yeah, he's a good, I was friends with him on IG before he really, like, blew up with it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very familiar with Mad Mike. He's the one that had Chuck Smith on a few weeks, well, maybe a month or so ago. Because he would always trash Chuck Smith on his YouTube videos. And somebody finally got it hooked up that Chuck would come on his podcast. And it was pretty good, man. It was pretty good. But yeah, I listen to Matt Mike a lot. And also...
Chuck didn't get upset?
No. He didn't get upset, but, you know, Chuck was cool. He answered everything. And he was like, come on, you want me on your show. Let's go at it. I thought Mike was going to kind of drag him, but he didn't really drag him that bad. But they end up being friends, and I think they help each other out. I think he's helping Chuck out with his podcast, too. So ended up working out.
Chuck need to have us on his podcast then.
Yeah.
Come on, Big Hit. Have us on there.
It'd be great if we can get Chuck to put us on his show. But yeah, I don't think that's happening.
You still got to play the tape for the fans, man. The fans need to know what happened with Chuck Smith.
But you got to keep bugging him, too. You know what I'm saying? He'd be like, look, you know, keep hitting him with tweets every day.
He blocked us. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, he blocked you. Okay.
Yeah. He blocked us after he did us, our show.
That's fucked later, up, so. Man.
Next day, I think. But anyway, that's the past, man. We're moving forward. We don't need Chuck. All right, fellas. Well, let's get started with this. I sent you guys out the notes and stuff. I mean, we can kind of wing it too, but let's talk about, you know, there's no football happening, but we can always talk about the things that they've done and what we think is going to happen and stuff like that. So let's do instead of the good, the bad, and the ugly, let's do a good and bad of the NFC South, since it's changed a lot. And I guess we can all give good reasons, one good reason why we think the NFC South, why we can take it, we can win it if we think we can, and one bad reason why we think maybe we can't.
Man, right now the NFC South seems like a division to beat.
Hold on to Q. It is. Q, you there? I don't see him anymore. Do you see him, Marys?
Mm-mm.
Let's see.
And he wanted me to switch to AT&T. Yeah, good luck with that.
That's fucked up, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I was talking, but you can hear me.
Yeah, we dropped off some.
I don't have AT&T for phone.
Only for internet, by the way.
Oh. So probably you don't get a bundle deal.
Q, did you hear what I said about the NFC South edition of the good and the bad?
Nope, that's where you dropped off.
Oh, okay. I said, well, this time, instead of doing our normal good and bad and ugly, let's do the good and the bad of the NFC South as far as can we own it this season, since it's changing a little bit. So we'll give one good reason and one bad reason. All right, the good and the bad, NFC South edition. So things have changed here in the NFC South. You know, we got some quarterbacks going out, some quarterbacks coming in, some players going out. What do you think? Do you think the Falcons can take it, this NFC South? Give me a good reason you think they can.
I think it's going to be a learning curve in Tampa, a learning curve in Carolina. But I think those sticky Saints will be up to their same no good ways.
All right. So you're...
But you have to remember, they do have a fresh center. This is going to be his first season. Because they don't have Unger no more. So they drafted a center. And, you know, first year... linemen don't do too well, especially against experienced defensive linemen, say like Grady Jarrett.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm more worried about a quarterback that. Than I am a center. I'm not too worried about a center, man. I think a guy like, you talking about in New Orleans?
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah, I think a guy like Drew Brees with those receivers he has, they'll be able to get timing down. And during training camp and realize what they're going to do in order to get the ball
So you're looking at 3 to 5 step drops.
Because, I mean, the Falcons have gone through this before. We did okay. We probably had better seasons than we didn't.
No, we didn't.
We had some injuries at that center position. Had to switch them out a couple of times.
Before we got Alex Mack, that front was horrible.
Agreed.
It was horrible. And so once they got Alex Mack, a experienced center, the line kind of shaped up a little bit. So you tell me now because Saints are bringing in a rookie center, that he's just going to get it just like that? He's going to get it and give Drew Brees enough time to throw it against Dante Fowler?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying they will have to account that into their game plan. And figure out a way to make it work, but they got time. I mean, they got training camp. They got time to make it work. They'll have to figure it out. And plus, at practice, he's going to get some pretty good defenders in New Orleans too. I mean, so it's not like he's not going to see some live experience in the meantime. So,
right.
I'm not too worried about a center, a quarterback. Yes, a center. You have a better probability of working that out.
All right, so you're thinking the Saints center will help us take this off.
It's gonna be a couple of nice little matchups, and they, you know, he might not hold up all year, and we don't play them until mid-year, so.
And that's another good point too. I looked at the schedule. That's another good point too. But then at the same time, you know, we don't play Brady. We played Brady like twice the last like three or four games of the season. So,
right,
he might by then be on point. So, it's one of those things, man. We got to wait to see how it plays out.
Well, Aries, give me a good reason why you think the Falcons can take this NFC South.
I'm gonna go with defense. If that defense clicks and if all the pieces fall, like what they've brought into this defense. Right. And we get Keanu Neal back. If that defense is able to be a cohesive unit and work together well, then that's going to be the key to helping the offense. Because if that defense is deadly, which I'm expecting it should be. I mean, I'm not going to say this season, so I'm looking forward to next season.
Right.
It's going to be a big factor.
Okay.
Because they brought some, good rotational players in.
You're not worried about these rookies on defense, especially that that corner. Where did he come from? He came from a big time school, but his highlight reel looked horrible. Hoop and I were laughing about it.
The corner?
The defensive back we drafted.
The one from Clemson, right?
Clemson. Yep, that's it. Yeah, his highlight reel looked terrible. Horrible on. On NFL draft day, when they showed his highlight reels, a bunch of people catching passes underneath him.
Terrible.
And he was just basically shoving them out of bounds. But I mean, I don't know. We'll see how he works out.
But I mean, when you look at it like that, there's nobody who got really past him. And I think on the long ball, he'll work out a lot better because there was a few highlights when they did go long and he was covering the guy.
Right.
It was a pick. So.
Right.
We'll see, but that kid worries me the most out of anything. And maybe the NFL just did a bad job of putting together highlights for him that night. I'm sure when he went back and watched it, he was shaking his head like, come on, man. But they just showed a lot of like that zone where you're just giving up everything underneath.
Right.
And he was just basically giving up everything underneath and they're just pushing people out of bounds. And I wouldn't impress. I know Hoop wouldn't impress. He said the same thing, but.
Say what, Aries?
If they're playing zone, that's what you're supposed to do. You don't let the receiver get past you, and you keep everything in front of you. So you can't get mad at that dude for doing his job.
That's true.
No, I feel you. I'm just saying he worries me, but we'll see. I'm not writing them off yet, but I'm just definitely saying we'll see. Yeah. And
he worries you passes. More than Isaiah Oliver.
Put it in perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Well, my neighbor feels the same way about Terrell. I mean, that was the first thing he said. He was like, "That dude is awful, man." And he sent me a clip of him getting burnt. So I'm like, there's got to be more to him than that. I mean, why would they waste their pick on him?
And that's the same feedback I have. One of my buddies out of Carolina. His daughter went to Clemson, so he followed him closely, and he said, "Man, that was a garbage pick for you guys." He's a Carolina fan, obviously, but he was like, "Man, that was a garbage pick for you guys." But he was like, "Who knows?" He's like, "The brass, they know more than we do. So hopefully, the Falcons brass has in mind that we don't know."
Right way. Yeah, you probably use him in the right way, then he'll be good. I mean, we're talking about DBs like Kendall Shepherd and Isaiah Oliver back there, so.
Right.
You know.
All right. Well, those are all good of what we can get the South, NFC South. I mean, definitely the other teams are kind of in a decline, and our new lineup can help. Hopefully they will. We'll see.
Let's just be real.
Do it again? Oh, yeah, they are rebuilding.
They're rebuilding.
Oh, yeah. Well, my good, man, y'all got all those. My good that I think will give me a little more confidence that we can beat the NFC South and be the champs of the NFC South, I guess, is outside of the things that you guys talked about, we are in a do-or-die mode where if we don't make the playoffs, if we won't make it deep in the playoffs, we're totally doing a reboot. And I think DQ and Thomas, you know, doing everything that they possibly can to, they have to make this happen. So I think that is going to be very stiff motivation, unlike last year. So, you know, after having that 1-7 start, I don't think that they can have that anymore. So any kind of bad showing at the beginning. So I'm hoping they would take that attitude and we have a good start. All right. Give me a bad Aries, bad reason from the Falcons that you are not convinced yet that we're ready for the NFC South.
A bad reason?
Yes, there are plenty of them.
You already named two.
To me, it goes back on the defense. It just, you know, to me, the defense is that key.
What about you, Q?
The defense, just like Aries said, is the key. Not only the cornerbacks do I worry about, but is anybody worried about pass rush this year?
Yes.
Are you seriously? Even with all the new additions?
Yes,
man,
because
I've new addition after new addition.
Right.
Plenty of years.
It always looks.
Jamal Anderson, plenty of them.
It always looks good. But then when it happens, you know, we still can't get to the damn quarterback, man. We've been doing this song and dance for a long time.
You say Jamal Anderson like he was a good pick to begin with. And he just did that.
No, I'm just saying that.
The man was horrible. Well,
pick somebody else that was horrible. Zach McKinley.
Yes. Still horrible.
Come on. I think I still have another one in my pocket. Come on.
How do you say Zach McKinley is bad?
Aries. Come on now. Come on, son.
Come on, son. Get the fuck out of here with that.
He hit me with the doctor.
Come on, son. Tack.
Zach McKinley's grandmother is rolling in her grave right now.
Come on, son. What the fuck is the deal?
Zach McKinley.
He had the audacity to bring out his grandma's picture and somebody how he's going to get to the quarterback, all this and that. This Joker looks crazy. Crazier than he looked before, but now he looks really crazy.
Why?
In my eyes, he didn't really produce.
And that shoulder, man.
And your definition of produce is what, sacks on a quarterback?
Yes.
That's what he said he was going to do.
Yes.
I mean, so yeah.
Double digits.
Yeah, I hire you for a job and you tell me you're going to sack the quarterback and you got your grandma's picture and you acting crazy and then you don't sack the quarterback. Yeah, I mean, you look crazy and you look like a non-producer.
So what kind of help did he have on the edge?
Man.
No. What kind of help did he have on the edge? Who's on the opposite side?
Man, we lost to the Arizona Cardinals. We lost to the Tennessee Titans last year. Teams that were horrible.
So that on his shoulders. That was his fault.
No. With the way they brought him in, he looked like he was going to be the man. And he kind of, you know, made it seem like he was going to be the man with all that outrageousness he did at the NFL draft. But then he ended up just being like a bunch of busts like we've had in the past. Was he any better than Vic Beasley?
Vic was actually better than him.
I think so. Hell yeah, Vic was better.
Nope.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Look at the quarterback pressures. Look at the quarterback pressures. Look at his hurries.
Yeah, but that
those are made up numbers. let's look at the quarterback sacks.
If you get a quarterback and who throws the ball when he doesn't want to, you've done your job.
But they didn't hire him for that. They hired him
to get to the quarterback. And right. if he can cause a quarterback to throw the ball before he's ready or to scramble out of the pocket, then he's doing his job. It's up to the rest of them to help out.
Is he really, Aries? I mean,
come on, son. No.
That's a stretch.
We lost to some bad teams.
Put it in perspective. Bad teams because of Zach McKinley.
No,
is that in what perspective. Saying? Let me put it in perspective. Marcus Mariota came in here, and he looked like the second coming of Jesus. 3 weeks later, that dude was on the bench and didn't have a job. Okay, he lost his job 3 weeks after coming into Atlanta and looking like a saint.
Other teams play him different. Who have a are used to playing or playing a team from the
so we're gonna play now. We're gonna play horrible quarterbacks different next season. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying that
because Arizona beat us too with that Murray kid that I didn't think was that all that great.
Mobile quarterback. Wow.
We're gonna play mobile quarterbacks, dude.
Pattern here.
We're gonna play. Look at the schedule. We're gonna play more mobile quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater can move.
I mean, even the non-mobile quarterbacks, I didn't see Tack get too many sacks on them.
Yeah, really.
So if you're looking at a defensive end and it's all about sacks and you're looking at the wrong stat.
We're just trying to look at what we see, man. I mean, the stats are... I understand
that, but what makes Von
sacks,
Miller...
Sacks sometimes equal wins.
No, okay. So you telling me the team who has the best sack player wins all the time? They win all the time.
I'm saying that teams that can rush the quarterback great, like you're saying, have guys who aren't the top sack producers, but they got other guys that will eventually get to the quarterback, or they have defensive backs that'll break up the pass if it's thrown early.
When JJ
we
Watt,
have none of that.
JJ Watt wins defensive player 3 years in a row. How far did their team go? Exactly.
They got to the playoffs.
No, not just last season. When he's won defensive player of the year, have they gotten to the playoffs? Have they gotten very far in the playoffs?
No. Yeah, but we haven't since we've had Tack. We've only been in the playoffs. Did we even go with Tack? I know we maybe once his first year.
If we went, it was his first year. That was it.
And ever since then, we haven't been back to the playoffs.
And ever since then, we haven't been back to the playoffs because it's Tack's fault.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that.
But that's the way you're putting it.
No.
We're putting it like that because you were saying that we got a pass rush this year, and that's going to take us to the promised land.
But we've been to the playoffs 1 year with Tack, and then we haven't been since. So the offensive line wasn't an issue, injuries wasn't an issue. It was Tack.
What happened that 1 year we went to the playoffs with Tack? Anyways,
that was the when we lost to the Eagles.
The Eagles.
That was one of the Eagles. So because of Tack, they didn't win that game, or was it because they couldn't get into the end zone again?
I mean, you can't blame it on just one player, man.
There are multiple factors that causes the whole thing. So when you say, well, Tack's not doing this, and now we
are
doing
it. But
Tack is doing what he can as far as getting pressure on the quarterback and actually getting to the quarterback. He's had his Tack's first year, he's had more sacks than Vic did his first 2 years. And Tack was playing part-time with a torn labrum. He had 8 sacks his rookie year.
And I don't know, man.
Let's see what the healthy Tack does this year, then. We can talk about it.
I'm saying with a healthy Tack, Dante Fowler, Grady Jarrett, the whole, as a group with the additions, Tack can be a good player. He just needs help, just like we were talking about with Grady Jarrett. Grady only has to beat one man unless he's double teamed, and his path to the quarterback isn't that long if he goes right to the middle. Tack has to bend the corner.
So you're saying that in order for Tack to be successful, he needs help to get to the quarterback, someone to help him on the other side.
Same with every other powerful defensive player. Every defensive player that you can name has one.
John Abraham.
Big Abe.
John Abraham.
Even if he doesn't sack the quarterback, fine, that's fine. You still can't stop the run. You still can't tackle a mobile quarterback. You still can't stop a running back. And that's why we lost games to horrible teams like the Cardinals and the Titans last year.
I like how you just turn around and put it right back on him because he lost. You see that, right? You turn around and put it right back on tap when I just explained. Okay.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Like, the defense can't stop the run. Can this defense stop the run?
Yeah, with the additions, yes. That's what I'm saying. With the help of all the additions. They even talking about getting Vin Curry.
All right. So with Fowler, with the help that they did bring in, and have Tack should have close to double-digit sacks, or if not, at least eight, right?
At least eight.
All right.
If this season plays out, but right. I mean, the way things are going now, I doubt it will.
Right, right.
All right. But when we do get back to football, yes, Tack will have between 8 and 10 sacks.
All right, well, I tell you what, I hope you're right. I don't think it is.
If he doesn't, I'm burning the jersey on camera. On the
video. All right, we got that. But you got to do it. Don't be like him.
We got that.
And not cut your dreads like he said he was. So you got to actually do it.
Okay.
All right.
Didn't he have a meltdown too in the middle of the season?
Come on, son. What the fuck is you doing?
Yeah, that's when he went. His friend called the cops on him because he was worried about him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, if we don't have a season, this is probably the best thing for Tiger to give him another year to heal that shoulder.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he'll come back even stronger than before. But
well, Aries, would you
horrible injury?
So he's going to play this season with the shoulder, but come back better than before next season?
No, if they don't play this season, it gives him another year.
They're playing this season. They already said.
Think so?
Okay. They already said they're only going to do two preseason games and then roll into the season. I mean, they're talking about it.
Yeah, they are talking about it. I mean, they may not have fans in the stand, but they're
no fans in the stand. So
I'm not watching. That's stupid. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's better than nothing, though, man.
I'm as stupid. It's the interactive sport. I can't.
I hear you.
No fans in the season. The roar of the crowd when you catch a deep pass from Julio or whatnot. Nope, not doing it.
Well, let me. Damn, I was going to ask you something, Aries, but I totally forgot.
I mean, it's just like practice. The
advantage is exactly. It's practicing with another team, and so there is no home field advantage.
All right. One last question about Tack to you, Aries, and then we'll move on. Say we do play, whenever we play again, and Tack's still on the team, would it be fair to say that if Tack doesn't really perform that well, he will be gone?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. All right, fellas. Woo.
But I'm not in the front office, so I couldn't tell you. I don't know what, you know what I'm saying, what they might see or what they could see, but I mean.
Well, do you think he deserves
to be gone?
Yeah.
Me? But no, I don't. I think some players take a little bit longer to develop than others. So.
Right. But, you know, they don't have that much of a leeway anymore, so, you know.
They don't because of the situation that they're in. Man, you can't put that on Tack.
You can't put it on Tack. Well, you can put the slow development on Tack a little bit, man.
No, you put the slow development, but, I mean, I'm talking about the do or die to where they need results and need them now. You can't put that on Tack because they were in that spot before he got there. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they were, but that's kind of why they took a chance on him. What, 3 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what the draft is. It's a gamble. I mean, unless you have a for sure bet.
That is true. That is true.
Five pick.
All right. Everybody,
that is, it's a gamble. So
it is a gamble. The whole thing's a gamble because nothing's guaranteed in any of those positions. But I hear you. And hopefully Tack will get it together, man, and have a breakout season next.
I mean, when what's the name came out, what was it? Joey Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
When he came out, he was a guaranteed number one pick. You knew what you were getting with Bosa, and boom, he turned out. He comes out and he gets, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Balls out. His brother.
The Bosa brothers.
The Bosa brothers. He, you know what I'm saying? He was there. He was in high praise before he came out a top pick.
Right.
boom. So there are, you know, those guarantees, but after you get to pass pick 10, they're all gambles.
Hmm. All right, that sounds interesting.
I've seen a lot of top 10 busts too, but go ahead.
All right. I forgot where we were. I was just tack talk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking on the defensive side of the ball. Right. I mean, you know, you got Jamarcus Russell and all that, and you know.
Well, I'll say my bad. What doesn't give me confidence in taking the NFC South the next season, whatever we play. It's, for me, it would be a little more on the coaching side of the ball, of the field or the team. I definitely don't trust Dirk Cutter, and I don't think he's going to change up that significantly with the offense, the offensive plays he's calling, and I just don't trust him. And I kind of trust Quinn a little bit, but our offensive coordinator, I think that will be our Achilles heel if we don't really make it. Or to own the NFC South.
If Dirk doesn't do something special with this offense that he has, which is probably more talented than any offense he's ever worked with,
right?
It's gonna be like a major blow up at the end of the season. Like we're gonna lose the whole front office.
Oh yeah, they're all gone. Quinn, Thomas, Arthur's starting over, hitting the reboot button.
Yeah, that's what we say every year.
They're going to fire the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator. Well, I mean, depending on what the defense does, but
we said
the defense is surprising people.
Yeah. But I think it's going to happen this time, Q. He can't not do it this time. I mean, he can't, but, you know, I think he's trying to win.
I mean, he can do what he wants, but, right. You know.
He's trying to win, though, so. And he already kind of said it.
He wants to hang something other than soccer banners in that stadium.
Right. All right, fellas. All right. Moving on. Let's switch gears.
Wait. Before we move on, I just want to say, if it doesn't work out, they're just going to blame it on the fact that there was no fans in the crowd and the players couldn't get up and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So, anyway. Go ahead, Rob.
All right. Well, let's switch up a little bit, man. Let's do a little girly talk.
Girl, please.
Boom. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Todd Gurley.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone's pretty much excited about, you know, to pick up Todd Gurley, which, you know, I'm a little excited. I'm not over the moon like everybody else, but I think it's a good pickup. You know, people are already trying to find out, you know, how many touchdowns he's going to have. And actually, we had a question on Twitter the other day. Someone was asking how many touchdowns they see Todd getting for us. And a lot of people were throwing out their numbers, man. But I know we kind of came in with low numbers. And I think Toby kind of called us out on it a little bit. But, I like Todd Gurley. I know he's going to be a main running back, but I don't see him getting those big numbers, man, those big TDs because of that knee. I don't know. What do y'all think? What do you think, Aries?
I don't know.
He's going to be the primary back, but he's going to be in the rotation heavily. That's what I think.
Yeah.
So they're going to use him for short yardage situations. You know, third and one, third and two. You know, so I see him being used maybe all three downs, but the most two.
Right. Yeah, you're right, because we have it's going to be Todd. I think after Todd, it's going to be Ito. I think, and after Ito, it's going to be
Hill.
Well, wait a minute. Let me reverse. I think it's going to be Hill before Ito. And then Quadre is going to be the last. I think that's how it's going to go down. What do you think, Q?
Man, there's a reason why we got this dude on a discount.
So that's all I'm saying. There's a reason we got him on a discount.
I hear you.
Yeah, because not very many people expect him to bounce back.
He's working hard, man. I mean, I saw, you know, he has some workout videos and stuff. He's trying, and I think he's pumped, especially to be playing here back home. But
yeah, Michael Turner's still working out really hard to try to get back into the league.
Girl, please.
He knows he's done.
Yeah. Like, because some of these people got him out here, man, on Twitter. They got him, like, at 16 TDs.
Oh, my God. They're crazy.
Yeah. You know.
With yeah. Ridley, Julio, everything going on, yeah. I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't see him doing double digits, but, you know.
I'd be happy if he does. I
would, too. Yeah, definitely don't. Knocking it, and not at all, but I just don't see it with this knee. And I mean, I know he did last year. I think he got 12 with the Rams, didn't he? Not last year, but I think since he's was it? No, I think last year he had 12.
If he had 12 touchdowns with the Rams, it'd be a fool to let that guy go.
But I think,
he did have like 12.
But you know, I think they let him go, Cube. That's the burning issue. That's the thing. It's like, why did they let him go?
Well, I watched a playoff game where he was absolutely horrible. And I saw a playoff game where he was on the sideline more than he was on the field. So that makes me worry about him.
But, we all know it's the knee. So it's the injury. That's the only thing that's stopping him. But like the rotation, I think with the rotation, if they can get that rotation working seamlessly, you know, I think it's going to be definitely a good addition and a very improved run game, because we have so many different types. Like we have Todd, he can get us, he can pound it in a little bit, and he also can be a good blocker and a receiver if we need him, like a short yardage receiver. And then we got Brian Hill, who's more of a kind of how Freeman was, a zagger, you know, zigzag and all that type of thing. And I think the Quadre is more of a bruiser, more of a big back.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, so, you know, we have him and Ito as well. Only thing about Ito is his injury as well, but you put all those guys in, keep swapping them out, I think we can actually start to have something of a run game. I don't know.
I think their run game, if they use the, you know what I'm saying, the proper backs or whatever, right, which I'm hoping they will. I think Gurley should be a factor in the passing game a lot more.
Right.
I mean, him catching the ball out of the backfield and then having to go up against a medium sized, like a nickel corner. Right. He's gonna bowl his ass right over. So right. I mean, you're looking at 7-8 yards per catch. Off top, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. So yeah. If they use him right,
that's the key. Yeah, if they use him right, you know, we do have an offensive coordinator that's throw happy too. So I put that in there. But all right,
right about that.
Yeah. Q, any more little tidbits about Gurley you wanna say?
No. No. I just don't. I mean, anytime you get someone at a good deal, you know, there's an old saying, you get what you pay for. So we'll see what happens. I wish him the best of luck. I mean, I love the guy, Georgia guy.
Right.
I love the guy, but I still believe you get what you pay for. So there's a reason he's not in. He's not a Ram.
But and there's a reason why he dropped so far, you know what I'm saying, in the draft too. And I mean, there was a reason why he dropped so far. He was supposed to be a top five pick.
Right.
Right. So I mean, the Rams took a chance on him to begin with, and now they're seeing what was going on. What is the outcome of them taking that chance? Is his knee not holding up after a couple of years?
Right. True. But
hey, gotta go.
So the only thing is that I can say for Atlanta is they know what they're getting.
Right.
They're not hoping for one thing, expecting another.
Right.
you know?
Right. That's a good point, man. They definitely know what they're getting. So hopefully they're planning accordingly around it. So,
yes, exactly.
All right. Well, the whole Twitter sphere is all a buzz, man. Those guys are in, you know, they're on it. So hopefully it'll turn out right.
So the Rams didn't realize what they had and try to adjust to that, is what you're telling me? They just decided, we'll just cut ties. We're not going to try to adjust to what we have.
Yep.
Okay.
You don't sound too convinced.
I'm sure the Rams evaluated it every which way, upside and down.
When they drafted him, or after they got him,
and after they saw what he could do, he had one great season, and then he kind of fell off a couple of times. But I figure, you know, if you're a good team, you can evaluate what you have and put that player in the best position. We did that with Freeman. We realized Freeman's not an every down back. We realized that very quickly.
But Freeman didn't come in hurt. Freeman didn't come in injured.
No, but he came in injured immediately after he came in. But you still found ways to work with Freeman, and Freeman had some success with Coleman and with the other guy, Ward.
You know, Freeman sat on the bench his first year, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying when they brought him in, they found a way to work with him.
But he didn't. But I'm saying he didn't come in injured. Gurley came in injured. He sat for a year because of his injury.
He sat for a year because of his injury. Same thing like Freeman. They both sat for the first year. Then after that, the Falcons thought Freeman was an every down back. They were handing the ball to him left and right, and he kept getting injured. And then the Falcons said, you know what? He's not every down back. Let's get some people that can compliment him. Let's go bring in Coleman. You know, let's hand it off to Coleman a little bit more. Let's hand it off to, what was the other guy, Ward? Was that his name, Ward, that they also handed it off to?
Yeah.
And it still didn't work out for Freeman. He was still getting injured, and even though he was splitting carries with two other dudes. So I'm sure that the Rams evaluated the situation with Gurley, and at the end of the day, they decided to let him go.
Compare Gurley to Freeman.
Hey, look at their numbers. I'm sure that they weren't that far off. I mean, Freeman had some yards when he was out there. You know, you might have to look at not year stats, but game stats. But Freeman had some yards when he was out there and he was healthy, but he just couldn't stay out there. And that's the same thing we're going to see with Gurley this year. He's not going to be able to stay out there. He's going to get hurt.
But they know that. When Gurley coming in, they know he's not going to be an every down back. They know he's not going to be the workhorse he was in his first 2 years playing for the Rams. They know this. So they're going to use him accordingly to what he can handle.
Well, I hope so. I just hope the Gurley thing wasn't a...
The whole comparison, the first couple of years between Gurley and Freeman is ridiculous. It don't match up. You cannot compare the two when one guy came into the league with an injury. So his expectations wasn't as high as say a guy who comes in healthy. The expectations are not there. They let him sit and heal, hoping.
Who missed more games? I'm sure Freeman missed a lot more games than Gurley did.
Freeman missed the whole season, I think.
I'm saying expectations coming into the league. The expectations were different between Freeman and Gurley.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. So
Gurley was a running back out of the University of Georgia that had a great running back school.
Who destroyed his knee before he even played one down in the league.
And then he came back as he destroyed
his knee. As a running back, how many running backs you know are come back from a knee injury?
I get you, but at Georgia, you got to remember, the first time he touched the ball after his knee injury, he was kickoff return, and he ran it back for a touchdown. It got called back for holding, but he took it like 85 yards for a touchdown. I mean, you know, he was more than a running back at Georgia. He was special teams and he was a running back because Georgia has so many running backs. But, you know, he came to the NFL and now everybody wants to say the knee. But no, after his knee injury, he came back at Georgia and he balled out on special teams at running back.
No, he hurt it again before he entered the draft. You don't remember that? To where he was out completely? when he was out completely before he even came. It was like one of the last few games.
That does sound a little familiar.
Sounds a little familiar. Maybe I'm forgetting that.
Yeah,
you might be right. Maybe I'm forgetting that.
Now, players don't play their last game. If they have a bowl game, they don't play because they don't want to get hurt. So when Gurley came into the league, that's why he sat out a whole year, because he had ruined his knee at the end of the season, just before going into the draft.
So let me ask you this then, so we're on the same page, so that we can get this under control here. You're telling me that you think Gurley's going to come in and be the most dynamic quarterback running back we've had in since who? Because it sounds like you're saying Gurley's going to be a pretty dynamic running back, and we've had Coleman, we've had Freeman.
My personal opinion, that's why out of all the guesses of the numbers, mine was the lowest. I gave him six touchdowns.
I gave him eight, and I said that's a combination of receiving and running rushing.
I gave him six. I think he'll be valuable in certain situations. I don't think he's going to be that player that you depend on game after game. I think it'd be situations to where, okay, give Gurley the ball. You know how everybody was with the Seahawks. Why didn't you give the ball to Lynch? It's going to be that type of player. Give the ball to
Gurley. So it goes back to what I'm asking, though, is like we need a running back. So who's going to be the running back of the Falcons this year? Who's going to be that guy you can put the ball in his hands 20 times a game without worrying?
We're not built like that. Yeah. Our running game is a complement to the passing game. It's not the main focus. You have to remember that. The running game isn't the main aspect of our offense.
That is true.
But if you look at the games from last year, though, Coleman, not last season, but the season before, Coleman and Freeman combined for a lot of plays.
All you want, but the main focus of the offense is the passing game. You put it, the running game is a complement to the passing game because of Ridley, Julio, and Matt Ryan. They are the front runners of this offense. The running.
No, I get that about this team. What I'm saying is, in the NFL, the run first teams are the teams that are the most successful. Look at the Steelers with the bus. Look at us back when we had all of our success with Rory Dunn and all those guys. The run first teams are the most successful teams. I'm telling you, we can't be a successful team if we're not a run first team. I don't think it happens in this league unless you have a dynamic quarterback like a situation like a Brady in New England or something like that. But a lot of these teams are run first teams.
Let's go back and look at Super Bowl victories. Let's see, who won last year?
KC.
And what is KC heavy in?
Pass.
KC is probably well-balanced. KC's a well-balanced team.
But okay, so let's go back to the season before that. Who won before KC did?
I already said the Patriots don't count. Bill Belichick is the only guy that can throw the ball.
That was Philadelphia.
Okay, so let's look at the team. Other than New England, who won the Super Bowl? Every other team other than New England's won the Super Bowl has been what? A pass-heavy team. So running the ball is a compliment. It's not the main focus.
Tell me who, because I think they're a 50-50 team.
Philadelphia.
I can't think of
many. Philadelphia is a pass team.
Yeah, and you saw they had one good season and they were garbage last year. It was one of the few teams we beat.
They still won the Super Bowl. With the pass,
but
they won the Super Bowl because they had a quarterback change late in the season, and teams weren't prepared for that. And that always works out in your favor.
But you're right; there, it has to be 50-50 because you can.
I'm thinking more of like a 70-30.
I mean, we may be built 70-30, but I think you do have to rely on the run quite a bit as well, because if not, all they're going to do is like they double triple Julio, and then they pick on whoever else we have left that is not as good as Julio, and so you know we can't win like that.
And I'm not arguing that. Last year we were a 70-30 team. I think last year we were a 70-30 team. We saw where that got us.
Yeah,
we threw the ball more than we ran it. We saw that where it got us.
Last year I think they were like.
When we lost the Super Bowl, why did we lose the Super Bowl? What did we do in the Super Bowl that could have won us the Super Bowl?
They couldn't run the ball, exactly.
No, it's not that we couldn't run the ball. We did run the ball. We didn't run the ball. It's not that we couldn't. We ran the ball in the first half. In the second half, we started throwing the ball unnecessarily when we should have been running it.
Yeah, and that did happen.
We didn't stick to the game plan that got us where we were, 28-3 at halftime.
Okay, but that's what they tried to do. If you go back to that season, Atlanta was had the best pass offense in the league. So they tried to stick to what they do to get them there, and that's why they fucked up.
They had the highest. They completed a lot of passes to their receivers, and that was great and all. But they still were running the ball a lot. They were still running the ball as much as they was throwing it. But they were completing a lot of passes because you were throwing to Julio, Hooper, Ridley, Manu. What's the name? I was about to say Manu. Is it Manu?
Sanu. Sanu. Yeah.
Sanu. Yeah. Well, he was Manu last year.
That was Free breakout year too. Free's breakout year.
He made Pro Bowl. Got dirty that year too.
Free was running like a madman
because the passing game was so on point. You can't stop both. You got to remember, you can't stop both. You stop one or the other. And if you can't stop the pass, it opens up the run. Because then you have to drop more people in the coverage, and you have a soft box. If you have a soft box, it's a wrap, especially when you have players like Coleman and Freeman at that time. The same thing is going to happen this year. You can't stack the box when you have Julio, but you can't pull back when you have a runner like Todd Gurley. So that's going to be the challenge, to balance that run with the pass. I think Gurley is going to be a factor, but he's not going to be the star of the run game. It's going to be the it was a mixture of all the running backs together working as one team. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's going to be the premier back. We're not built for a premier back. This is not the Tennessee Titans.
It's going to be by committee.
Yeah, we don't have Henry.
It's definitely going to be by committee because we realize after Freeman that's just not.
When you have now, if we had a player like Henry, then I'll be all for the run game.
That is true. Yeah,
like Henry is a bull. Like, you're not stopping him.
Like Aries. I love your passion, and I love you like a brother. But what I'm saying is this:
girl,
it's only going to take 5 or 6 weeks to figure out Gurley is more of a decoy than he is a danger.
Please.
And that's the bottom damn line, as far as I'm concerned. And that's all he is. He's a decoy more than he is a danger.
And he's a blocker.
And he's a blocker. Hey, yeah, you can always take a blocker. Freeman, you know Freeman's ass wasn't a blocker.
No. That's why we didn't win the Super Bowl, but that's another story.
But teams are going to figure that out quickly after watching game film.
I look just like how everybody thought when we got Tony Gonzalez. Oh, he's washed up. He's no good. He's not going to help you guys.
Tony had a lot of stuff helping him out, like Julio. Julio on one side and Tony on the other, and you think Tony's washed out. Of course he's going to catch some balls.
Tony was just good, though. He wasn't washed up. Tony was definitely good.
Tony wasn't washed up. Tony had great hands, and if you threw the ball to him, but look at it. Tony's gone, and look who's shouting in his place. A guy by the name of Austin Hooper. Who?
Well, not anymore.
Austin Hooper? Well, not anymore, but...
Who started?
But he shined.
And benefited from Julio and...
Ridley? And Sanu?
Yeah, he benefited from that. So I'm not going to say he was a great... I mean, don't get me wrong. He was a good freaking guy. But, I mean, he wasn't, like, the best tight end in the league. I think the upgrade we did with... what's his name? From Baltimore.
Oh, Hurts?
Hurts. I think Hurts is...
Oh, yeah.
I think Hurts is enough.
Yeah, I agree. But Hooper looked like a superstar while he was here. And there's a reason why.
Because he benefited from what he had around him.
Yeah.
Same thing. Tony Gonzalez. You think Tony Gonzalez would have been as good as he was anywhere else without that kind of
Julio and Roddy? Without Julio and Roddy,
supporting cast, exactly.
Yep.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because there's another guy that did it. Don't forget about him. His name was Brian Finneran, who was a nobody, but really came up a lot, really rose up in the ranks when Roddy was here, and I think early on when maybe Julio was here. So you remember Brian Finneran?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah,
he could stretch the field. He was the go-to guy on fourth downs and third and longs.
I mean, we're talking early '90s, so I mean, you know, you only see players like that. But right. I'm just saying, Gurley is going to be that complement player,
right?
To help thin out the defense.
I agree. He will for the first 4 or 5 weeks. For the first 4 or 5 weeks, and that's it.
No, that's like saying, well, Patrick Mahomes got figured out in the first 4 or 5 weeks. He's going to pull back no look throws and throw deep. You can't because of the different schemes that can be run with a player like Todd Gurley. It's going to be hard to figure them out, to actually stop it, because once you think you have them, then they're going to go to the other side. Then that's when you have Ridley.
But you're comparing apples to oranges, and that Kansas City team not only had a lot of firepower, but they also had Andy Reid, who designs his own plays, calls his own plays. Wait a second. Mahomes was injured for like 3, 4, 5 games last season, and they still went on with a guy that Andy Reid called up that was coaching high school football. Who was it, Matt Moore? Was that his name? And he still won games. Yeah, that's who it was.
Matt Moore.
But regardless of who it was, I think it was Matt Moore. But regardless of who it was, they still won games without Patrick Mahomes.
They won games, but they didn't get far.
They lost that one.
They wouldn't have gotten that deep without Mahomes.
They wouldn't have ever even made it to the playoffs if Matt Moore would have lost all those games he started.
Right.
Andy Reid is a beast as a coach. So right. you can't compare. You're comparing apples to oranges when you're comparing Andy Reid calling plays compared to, you know, our play callers.
Dirk Cutter. Quinn. All right.
Girl, please.
All right, man. Ooh, that was a good girly talk, man. I mean, give me goosebumps. I like the passion, fellas. Love it. Especially from you, Aries. Dig it, man. All right, man. Let's hopefully, like I said, it'll all work out, and Todd will shine for us and help us get there. All right, man. Moving on to actually, I'm just going to skip that. Let's move on to around the league, because it's an interesting one we can talk about around the league.
We're starting in New England first, I guess.
Yeah, so and it relates to the NFC as well. So two people that we know of, one from a quarterback from our league, Mr. Cam Newton, has signed a 1-year deal with the cheating ass Patriots. And and we know Tom Brady is down in Tampa Bay. So
hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
I guess you can look at it like that. But before we go on to a big question about who's going to have a better season, what do y'all think about Cam going to the Patriots? Q, what do you think about that?
I thought all along, man. I kept wondering why Cam was not getting any looks by any other teams. I was wondering why the Patriots were not trying to figure out another quarterback situation. So when he signed, I thought to myself, I was like, doggone it, I knew it. Bill Belichick, up to his sneaky ways. I think he kept it under wraps. I think it's been planned weeks before we even found out about it. And and I'm not surprised. But I think it's a good fit. I think it's a very good fit. Now you got a guy that can throw the ball but also can run, which is something you didn't have with Brady. You know, he's a thrower only. So now it's going to be a very interesting football season. I think that one move, that one shakeup right there, was more important than anything else we saw in the league. It was more important than Bridgewater going to Carolina. I'm super excited about what may or may not happen, but I think something may happen with this one.
What about you, Aries? What do you think about the whole Cam moving up to the Patriots?
It's different for me. I think it's Cam wanting to be a starter, and I think that he figured that was the only place he could be.
Right.
He could have gone to a bunch of places. He could have gone to Chicago,
but he didn't get those offers.
Yeah, there's other places he could have ended up where he could have been successful.
No, there wasn't. To be a starter, he wanted to start. And I think he took that route because he knew that he can beat out whoever they had back there. He couldn't have gone to Chicago. Chicago already picked up Nick Foles.
Yeah, but you got Nick Foles and Cam Newton. Cam's not getting any money.
Okay, but when you bring in
Nick Foles, you know, had a horrible season last year.
When you bring in a quarterback like Nick Foles, you don't go back and you don't go out and get another quarterback when you just drafted a quarterback 2 years before that. So he wasn't going to Chicago. That was not an option.
Maybe not, but I think Cam would be a better answer in Chicago than Nick Foles.
I guess they felt that Nick Foles was better, or he fit what they needed.
Maybe so, but Nick has kind of become a journeyman. I mean, you know, he had his time in Philly, and then, you know, he had his time in Jacksonville, and now he's moved on to Chicago. But, you know, Nick, to me, is no better than Joe Flacco.
But, Q, go ahead, Aries.
Didn't you want Joe Flacco over Matt Ryan?
Didn't Joe Flacco get a Super Bowl faster than Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan,
Ray Lewis,
the number one defense.
Yeah,
don't go there. Of the number one defense in the league.
Yeah, that was Ray Lewis, man.
Yeah. So yeah, that, yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna say this right now. If Joe Flacco was in that Super Bowl against the Patriots, he would have got his second ring. He would have got his second ring right there.
Trent got a Super Bowl too with the Baltimore Ravens too. Don't forget that. And they cut his ass the very
next. He was the best game manager of all time for one season.
They cut his ass in the very next season. Oops. Okay, we don't need you no more. So, yeah, I don't even credit that Super Bowl to Joe Flacco. And anybody who brings it up is just don't even talk football with me. you're ignorant.
Okay. He got a ring. Yeah. And he contributed.
Back of the defense.
All right, but this is interesting why they picked up Cam, though. You know, Cam has that shoulder injury, man, that's really been bothering him. He barely played last year.
Just like Todd Gurley, right?
Why would Belichick go for a quarterback like that?
Attention.
Well, the contract was right.
It was just for them it was.
The contract was right. It's a 1 year deal, and it's all incentive laced. So I mean, you know, they got nothing to lose, and they got to put butts. Hopefully they got to put butts in the stands, and Cam Newton will put butts in the stands because I think from what I've heard, listening to
right,
and I do a lot of listening to other radio stations. So I've been listening to WBZN or whatever it is, Boston's flagship sports station, and they are more than excited, more than thrilled to have Cam Newton.
But what help do they have for him? I mean, the Patriots really don't have anybody that's any that well anymore. I mean, they have a bunch of young guys now.
I mean, they never really had a bunch of people. They have always have complimentary guys that can make it happen. Guys with the last name Hogan, Edelman, any guys that can, yeah.
As long as you had Brady, it didn't matter who you had around him. But right. Now you have Cam, so now you're going to have to invest in people around him. So right. Good luck with that.
Exactly.
Do you really have to?
Yes.
To be a good team, yes. You need talent to help Cam.
Yeah.
When they had Brady, you didn't need to have much talent. He put the ball where.
And you don't think a guy like Bill Belichick can't figure out a way to make this work?
Hopefully
you
will.
Telling me Bill Belichick can't find a way to make this work. He made it work with Brady.
So if it don't, was it Belichick or was it Brady?
We got to wait to see if it works or not.
I'm asking if it doesn't work. Is it was it Belichick or what was it having Tom Brady?
This is the year we got to wait to see. I mean, you got Tom going into a whole different system. I'm saying there's so many things that we got to wait to see. We got to see what Belichick does without Tom, and we got to see what Tom does without Belichick. We have to wait for all that to happen.
I didn't think you were. I didn't know you were such a good dancer.
No, I'm honestly not dancing. I'm saying we got to have 1 year under our belt to see what happens if they're both successful. What happens if they both do fairly well?
We'll be looking at each other
like we're crazy this time.
I'm throwing a what if out there. If the Patriots don't do nothing.
Okay.
Was it Brady or was it Belichick?
Okay, Rock just asked me what I feel. This is what I feel. I feel like Belichick is good enough at what he does, cheating or not cheating, that he can take Cam to where Cam needs to be, take the Patriots to where they need to be. I will say with Tom's like 41, 42 years old.
Right.
So I'm probably expecting more from Bill than I am Tom. If it doesn't work out with Tom, you just go, man, Tom had a great career, and then they tried to move him. But it's the same thing like with Joe Montana. You know, it's like, well, you tried to move him after he was already old. And Tom, I think, is even older than Montana was when they tried to move him over to the Chiefs. So, you know, I just kind of look at it like, well, you know, Tom has an excuse. Too little, too late. He was old, and it was too little, too late. Belichick is just a great mind. Andy Reid. He's a great mind. I think that, and Cam is a young enough guy to still get it done. And they're saying he's coming back 100% healthy. They said he packed his physical,
right,
with shooting stars. So I think if I had to put my money on somebody, I'd go. I think Belichick will have more success than Tom. But if they both have success, we'll be sitting here looking at each other this time next year, like everybody's crazy, going, oh well. Imagine if Tampa goes to the playoffs. Tampa last year with Jameis going 30 for 30, they still were just they ended the season like one game below 500. So now imagine with Tom, if you can finish the season 3 or 4 games above 500, you might make the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah, but I think
Tom has some weapons out there now. Let's not forget about that.
I hope you're not talking about Gronkowski, but. I hope you're talking about Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
But then the other thing about Tom, Tom's still the man, but I don't think his arm is as strong as it used to be. And I don't think, like, Jameis could get that ball field.
Rock.
Are you thinking the 41-year man?
No, I'm not saying his arm is as good as it used to be.
Right.
You don't need that if you got good coaching. Because there's a guy by the name of Peyton Manning that won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos after coming back after all those, whatever was wrong with his neck or his arm or his shoulder, or we don't even know what was wrong with Peyton.
Defense.
It was their defense.
Well, the offense had to put points on the board.
He threw for less than 200 yards the whole game.
But they were 200. They were 200 perfect yards. We don't need Brady to go out and throw for 400 or 500 yards a game like a Drew Brees. Tom Brady to go out and throw for 300 or 400 yards like a Drew Brees does every game. You just need to find with Arians out there, you just need to find what works right and make it happen. And some coaches can do it. DQ can't do it. He can't figure out that perfect balance.
Think Bruce Arians can?
I think he can. Yeah, there's a reason why he let Jameis Winston go. And I personally would have kept, if I was the head coach, I would have kept Jameis for one more year just to see. But
at 2 years, what more could he do?
He
threw 30 touchdowns. He threw 30 interceptions, but he also threw 30 touchdowns. And that's the thing about Jameis that drives me nuts is that he's a maniac. But if you can find somebody that could, you know.
I don't think there is, man.
Where's Jameis at? Where's Jameis at right now, too? But hey, where's Jameis at right now, too?
Back up in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a chance he might see some time on the field. I mean, you know, Drew Brees isn't getting any younger. Yeah, so there's a chance he might have to. No, but I mean, just like Teddy Bridgewater last year, Teddy had to step in for like 4 or 5 games. There's a chance we might have to see Jameis on the field. If you get a good coach around him that can work with them.
That's my opinion.
Say what? I can't hear you.
Bridgewater is
oh hell yeah, yeah, of course. So, but I'm saying that if Jameis can have to step in for a few games if needed, and he does it, then that furthers his career. Just like the same thing here with Cam, it furthers his career if he can have one good season in New England.
But that's if Jameis doesn't pull a Jameis, which because his quarterback coach already said that the guy is not coachable.
Yeah, that's the thing about this guy who has a lot of talent.
I was telling everybody when he came out of Florida State, he was trash, but nobody listened.
But he doesn't.
But he won a national championship. I mean, obviously somebody can get to him.
Well, that's when you had Freeman too. Don't forget that he was on that team.
Yeah, that's true.
But that was a young Jameis. Now he's older. He's a little bit wiser.
He's doing the same shit he did in college. Yeah. Not listening, throwing wild balls, trying to squeeze balls where they shouldn't be. So yeah, I mean, I get it. Yeah, he's a lot wiser though.
Yeah, Jameis has to help himself. Q is what I think about Jameis. He has to help himself, and I don't think.
I agree, but in the right situation with the right coach, I think Jameis could be better.
Oh yeah,
he didn't have what he needed, but he has the potential. He's crazy, but yeah. He has the potential.
I mean, he's going to end up like Byron Leftwich, man, a glorified backup that can throw the ball down the field. But I don't think.
And then he turns into an offensive coordinator.
Right. Awesome. I hope not. God.
Not play quarterback.
But So I don't know. So what do y'all think as far as, well, I guess we kind of answered it anyway, but out of the two of Brady and Cam, who do y'all think is going to have the most success this season?
Is that rhetorical?
No, I'm being serious.
Wow.
I'm saying it's a toss-up, but if I had to choose somebody, I'd choose Belichick to...
I mean, me personally, as a Falcon fan, I hope Cam has a better season.
Right.
But I mean, I...
You think being Tom real?
Of course, hands down.
I don't. I think
that's not good for us, though.
No, as I'm saying, I mean, as a Falcon fan, I'm hoping Cam has a better season. But I mean, if they're able to get the front line good with Tampa, then you know what I'm saying, Tom Brady's got a chance. But I think the expectations for Tom to come in and do what he did in New England are high without knowing that they have a bad front line.
Right.
It's just based off the fact that it's Tom Brady's name.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're not taking it in consideration, they kind of are because they drafted offensive line. But I think they're hoping for that Tom Brady kind of success, 13-3. 12-4 type season because Tom Brady is their quarterback, and that's what I'm hearing from every sports outlet as well.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing too. But let me ask you this, Aries, and let me ask you this, Rock.
All right.
How do you think the Falcons do against Tampa, knowing that we don't play them for the first time until I think we play them like week 14 and 16 or something like that? It's a quick turnaround time. It's very late in the season. You guys think that we can beat them?
I think so.
I think we split too.
I mean, I would love if we swept them, but I think they're going to split again. I think we sweep Carolina again.
Well, yeah, that's.
I think we sweep Carolina again. I think we split with Tampa, but maybe even beat Tampa twice. The only reason I say that is because it feeds into our defense. We have a quarterback that can't scramble, so when he gets in trouble, you know he's going down. And I kind of look at that as an advantage for the Falcons.
That too, yeah. And with a bad front line, he's going to have to scramble in a lot. So,
right.
And with our improved defense, it's going to happen often.
Our improved defense. I like to hear that.
Yeah, improved defense. Okay, that includes the secondary.
The defensive tackle they drafted, I think sitting him next to Grady Jarrett is going to be a game changer. Yeah, and then you have Fowler on the edge, right, and in the corner. So you're going to have to double somebody, which frees up somebody else.
The only time that worked out for us is when we had that veteran come in from New York, and somebody else had a season on the other side, and they just went off. Remember that? Who was the guy that came in from New York? Had like an African last name. Defensive pass rusher. Usain Bolt was his name. Yeah.
How long ago?
Not that long ago. What was it? Was it Usain Bolt? Was that his name?
Oh,
I don't know.
Remember when he came in and then he didn't have that great of a season. He had an all right season, but whoever was on the other side had a really good season. I can't remember who's on the other side though.
Yeah, because they got rid of.
Was it Jam?
And then
Abraham was gone. Was it Jamal Anderson?
And then brought him in.
No, after Abraham, it was Michael. Who was it?
Which was crazy for me.
Anyways, that's the only time it worked out for us. We brought in the guy from New York, and then he ended up having the other side go nuts for him.
Was he the guy we had before Vic Beasley?
I can't remember who it was. I'm losing my mind right now. But y'all remember that season, right, where we brought in the dude from New York, the Giants? Was it Usain Minura? Was it whatever his name is?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and then whoever was on the other side had a really good year, so then we brought him back again for one more season. Then after that, it didn't work out the second season.
So how do you say that the guy on the other end had a really good year and we brought him back and you don't know his name? Are you sure he had a really good year?
No. I remember that, but I just can't remember who it was, though. I can't remember if it was Jamal Anderson or who it was.
I
don't think it was Jamal Anderson.
I think it was Jamal Anderson.
I don't think he didn't
have a good year. He was a decent player, but they were saying
he didn't have a good year, but he opened it up. The last thing you said before I mentioned this was you said we need to have somebody like a veteran on one side, and I was like, we tried that once and it worked, but it only worked for one season, and that was bringing up that season. Usain Minura, whatever his name is,
that one season
he came in, the other side had a really good season. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't the white dude from the Housewives.
Oh, Corey Bierman.
Bierman.
It was before.
It might have been Jamal Anderson.
I can't remember who it was. I remember us bringing him a veteran, and the other guy, the benefiting from that was Dwight Freeney, and Vic had a good year.
I forgot about that too. That's a good one too. Yeah, but no, there was one. There was one before that. I'm talking about.
I don't think so because me personally, that I remember them talking about getting rid of Abraham and then bringing in Usain Minura. Why not keep them both and have that bookend pass rush? And I think that was a problem. Usain Minura was just dropped into the same spot we had John Abraham in. So,
you know what? That's starting to sound familiar too. This might be something we have to Google after the show and get back to the people on the next show. But that's a good one to figure out right there. But there was something. There was something there for one season.
A little bit.
And it didn't work out. But I can't remember who was on the damn other side of the ball.
But he had a good year.
Yeah, one good year. And then they tried to do it again the next year, and it didn't work out.
Well, we figured it out. Let me know, and I'll post it on Twitter.
Right.
All right, fellas. Well, let's go ahead and start wrapping this up, man. This was some good talk, man.
Is it about the time already?
Yeah, man.
It's 9:20.
It's my
East Coast.
Yeah, we've been doing it for about an hour 22.
I should have been in bed 20 minutes ago.
But all right, fellas, I want to thank everybody for joining us. You know, make sure you hit us up on our Twitter site at What's Up Falcons. And also, don't forget to check out Aries. Aries, tell them what the people can check you out. They want to talk to you or send you a message or something.
You want to talk to me, you can hit me up at FalconsFans77 on Twitter. I'm also on IG, Aries Falcon, so you can hit me up there.
Definitely. And we're going to get an IG up soon.
And McDowell's.com, baby. Tell them about it.
Yeah, it's coming. I knew it was coming sooner or later. Can't have one show without a McDowell's joke in there.
No. Of course not.
Never, never. All right, fellas. I want to thank y'all. And y'all don't forget to check us out on iTunes and Armchair, exclusively at Armchair All-American and SoundCloud. And don't forget to check us out, because you know why? Because we're the number 4 on the web for the Atlanta Falcons podcast. So, you know, you got to check us out. We're number 4. We're trying to go for number 1.
Hey, we started going up once we got Aries on the podcast.
Exactly, man. After that, everything started going up.
Yep, exactly.
All right, guys. Well, that is it. We'll call it a wrap, and we'll talk to y'all next time.
Peace. Hey, Aries. Peace. That was a good one tonight, man. We went back and forth. That was a good one tonight.
I'll talk to y'all, fellas. Man, soon. All right, guys. Later.
Hey. Later. See you.
Check out the What's Up Falcons podcast exclusively at armchairallamericans.com. Subscribe to the What's Up Falcons podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Listen to the What's Up Falcons podcast at whatsupfalcons.com.